is being filled with His glory. Amen. These are the days of resurrection. I hope you will catch the resurrection bus.
Amen.
You jump onto the bus and we'll begin to move. Amen. Today is the 3 of this weekend, and we're almost rounding up, almost getting to the end. Today, we come again, and we're looking at the 6th inheritance. Paul spoke of the riches of our inheritance in Christ. Amen. The young man went to his father and said, "Tell me, give me my portion." And he ran away. We're not running away. We want our inheritance laid out before us, that we might come into it, we might begin to walk in it, we might express ourselves in this inheritance, the eyes of understanding being enlightened. It's sweet wine that opens it. Amen. The very best of heaven. Hallelujah. Today we are looking at the ministry of the soul. Amen. The ministry of the soul is in two dimensions. The ministry of life and the ministry of death. The ministry of life comes from the life-giving spirit. And the ministry of death comes from the fallen, beastly soul. Those are terms. I hope we have explained as we've gone along. There might be people who are new. We'll see how we can knock it down while going ahead. And of course, if you have questions, you can ask. At the end, any things that you have heard which is not clear, just note it and then we can explain. Like we said yesterday, these are strong bones. We are going into areas of strong bones, strong meat. There will be milk as we go along. So if you are used to the milk, pardon the strong bones. They had the aspect, the depths. But we have to go deep because darkness is getting deep. So we need to dig further. Like the song says, when the ocean rises, then you know you have to dig deeper. You know, like the man that's building on the rock. Because he said the storms will come. And are going to beat upon the house. Amen. So we're looking at the sixth aspect of this inheritance we have in Christ. And that is, as I said, the ministry. There is a ministry for the soul. There's a ministry. So I have divided this study today into three parts. The first part we'll be looking at to be a contrast, the certain parts, not everything, but certain relevant aspects of the falling nature of the beastly soul, which is that of the man who is not regenerated. And then we will look at the opposite of what Jesus called the life-giving spirit, which I call the spiritual soul for my own understanding. So we're looking at the beastly soul and the spiritual soul, or the life-giving spirit. When you study the scriptures, because this is a study section, so we're essentially studying the Bible. When you study the scriptures, there are certain words that you come across. And if you are diligent to probe further, you will notice certain things. One of it is that the scripture uses the word nations. When you look at the Greek, it uses the word ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, ethnos. That's from where you have the word ethnic. All right, so ethnos, ethnic. So in Nigeria now, you hear the word ethnic nationality, isn't it? So it is describing a group of people, usually a tribe. Not a clan, but a tribe, a big one. So they say they are an ethnic nationality. So what are they describing? They are describing a common feature. People who have a common origin. The Yorubas will say they will trace their origin to Oduduwa. So everybody that comes from there, you know, the Igbos would have their own tracing. Everybody had their own tracing. The Igbos say they came from Israel. And then everybody is drawing their line. But however it is, that word is speaking about a characteristic that is commonly shared. All right, so the Greek word ethnos speaks of grouping. Well, I was just giving you the anthropology, that is the history of the tribe development. But in the spirit, there is also nations. All right, so the word of God comes in different dimensions. There is a natural dimension, we've spoken about that one, the tribes in Nigeria, more than 200. All right, but in the spirit also, there are also tribes. Amen. There is that scripture that talks about the tribes of the Lord. Is this Psalm 90? I'm going to find it. Say, we are in the tribes of the Lord. Go. Oh, I forgot to check it, but it was a scripture I wanted us to read. Please, help me check for it. It's somewhere in Psalm. It says about the tribes of the Lord, they go up. Is it Psalm 55 or somewhere? Let's look at it. Just type tribe and then it will come up. Tribes. You can't. Honey, are you typing it? What? Let's look at this. Psalm 78. 78 verse. Not this one. Where it says the tribes of the Lord go up. 122. That's it. That's very good. That's what I wanted. Okay, it says Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up. The tribes of the Lord. Unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks. So there are tribes, we know the natural tribes, Israel, Reuben, and so on. But in the spirit also, there are tribes. But now, in the spirit, the tribes are describing the souls. So there are different types of soul. All right? And the scripture has given us three of them. And today we'll be looking at these soul natures. We'll look at their characteristics, and then we'll look at their ministry, their function. So the second part of this study will be the ministry of darkness, the ministry of death, compared or in contrast to this ministry of life and light. So that's the second level. And then I think we should have time. We will go a little bit further and we'll look at the redeemed soul. That is where I should be going to. You know, somebody spoke this morning and said, I'm not where I should be. We are not where we should be, but we must have a target. We must have a target where we should be going. So those are the three things we'll be looking at today. To look at ministry. Everybody has a ministry. There's a ministry of light and there's a ministry of darkness. We saw yesterday, or is it on Friday, when we look at darkness, we say darkness has a ministry. There is the fourth dimension of darkness we talked about was Egon, works, machinations. You know, darkness uses the mind as a machine, as an industry to expand and export itself. That is part of the ministry. But let's go into the scriptures. And then we will touch all those things. Now, the first characteristic, so here you have the beastly soul. Let me explain briefly. Beastly, because there may be new people. The scriptures talks about, you know, a beast has the character of being independent, self-willed and manifested. Romans says the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God. So that is, it describes that nature. So when the soul becomes beastly, it is the nature of, the other way is described, of a dead soul. And then on this side, we have what Paul called a life-giving spirit, which I call the spiritual soul. Now, in the middle, of course, we know when God made Adam, it was a living soul. But nobody can remain a living soul forever. You know, a living soul is like you have bought a piece of land. You must build on it. You know, so if you don't build on it, the devil will build on it. All right, so there is nothing static. So Adam was born a living soul. He was supposed to build on it, life. Receive the tree of life. He didn't. What happened? The devil came along and he became dead. He became a dead soul. And has continued. So there is no static. There must be either light or darkness, either hot or cold. Amen. The first scripture we're looking at is 1 Corinthians 6. It says 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. The first characteristic of a life-giving spirit. Verse 17. It says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Way back in April, when we had the teaching and we talked about the bride, marriage, that the characteristic, one of the second characteristics we looked at, was that every soul must be married. But when the Bible talks about marriage, It's not only the soul that gets married, the spirit must be married also, must be joined. Just like the body is joined. So body is joined, soul is joined, spirit is joined. So every realm of man must be joined. Now, he's talking about we're looking at the ultimate. He said, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Then he goes down in 19:20 and says that our body is also joined to the Lord, is married to the Lord. So he says, my body is not for fornication, not to be joined to harlots, but my body is to be joined to the Lord. So also my soul is not to be married to different spirits. Alright? My soul should be married to Christ. So that is the characteristic of the virgin, the wise virgins. The wise virgins, they had oil in the vessel. We know the vessel speaks of the soul. So that oil speaks of the spirit of Christ, the life of Christ. And we saw that Christ means God in the soul. That's what Christ means. Christ means God in man. All right? So God wants to come into man and marry the soul and join and take over the soul. All right? So that is the principle of Christ. And that's Adam. God made the clay and breathed into it and it became a living soul. So one major characteristic is that it is joined unto Christ. So it's one spirit. Okay, so let's go to the converse. What would be a converse be? So if for the believer, where God wants you to be at the end is that your soul is married to Christ permanently. Amen. What would be the opposite? The opposite is that the soul of the unredeemed man will be permanently detached from God. And that soul can only dwell in hell. Amen. I don't know if you understand. So the soul that turns from God has a chance. And that is the purpose of evangelism. You are going to the soul, receive Christ, so that you can be joined to Christ. That soul is in hell, in a level of hell, the lower hell, not the lowest, it's the lower hell. The Bible says, talks about the lowest hell. That has delivered my soul from the lowest hell. When that soul misses the opportunity on earth, that door becomes permanently shut and it goes into the lake of fire. There is no gospel for redemption from the lake of fire. Even though the Catholic Church says that they will bring you out again and then you have a chance. But the Bible says there's no repentance where? There's no repentance where? So you and I, now we have a chance to redeem our soul so that it can be joined unto Christ. Now, when we are born again, the soul is not permanently joined. It's temporarily joined. That's why somebody can backslide. That's why it can drop back to perdition. So if somebody says, I'm born again, starts playing around, if the soul is not moving, darkness is progressing, and the darkness can even overcome the little light that is there. And that soul will begin to draw back. So it says, if the soul draws back to perdition, what will happen? He said, my soul will have no pleasure. In other words, this soul is a widow. It's a widow. And the husband is dead. And the Bible says the high priest cannot marry a widow. Is it in the Bible? In Leviticus, it says the high priest cannot marry a widow. That means Christ cannot be joined to a soul that is not redeemed. It's not possible. Amen. So, for Christ to join, to be joined to the soul, that soul first has to be redeemed. Blood must come, quicken that soul. Then it can be joined unto Christ. Amen. So you can see, these two souls are in different levels and planes. Therefore, their ministry will be different. Amen. Okay, that's the first one. Let's take the second one. The second one is what I call the East Gate. You know what is the East Gate? What is the East Gate? Okay, the mind is the East. It referred to in the prophetic language as the East Gate. The East Gate is from where the priest enters the tabernacle. So I think we will, may have to draw something. A very small one. Can I have tissue or something? Let me play. Okay, so this is the East, and this is the West, this is the North, and then this is the South. So the gate of the temple is here, and the entrance is there, that is the altar, and then that is the brazen laver, that is the door, and then that is the... And then, so we have it complete now. Okay, so the entrance into the tabernacle, and we saw that it's very clear now that the tabernacle is speaking of you, because man is the dwelling place of God. So the entrance into the tabernacle was from the East. And this East presents the mind. When God comes to you, he comes through the mind. And that's why the devil is interested in the mind. Now, for the believer and then the unbeliever, the East Gate is closed here. Again, temporarily going on to a permanent closure. All right. And then here, the East Gate is opened. Temporarily, they go into permanent. Amen. So, there are two contrasts. The mind. Let's read the scripture. Romans, I think we'll start. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Okay. See, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Amen. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable. But look at verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So there is a service. The service I bring, the ministry I bring, is determined by the state of my mind. Amen. So, the mind must be renewed. That's what brings the transformation. That's what brings the change. So, I will draw the other temple. This is the temple of Moses. But let's draw the real temple here. This is the real temple. And this is the mind. This is the will. This is the emotion. And then this is the desire. The mind is like a bed. The emotion, of course, you know, is like a Simba. The lion, and then the desire is the, this is the fallen man, fallen desires of man. It's like a serpent, and then there is a wheel that is like an ox. Okay, so where they meet is the heart. This is the heart. Okay, so this is the temple. This is the soul. And then it's joined to a body. It's joined to a spirit. This is the human spirit. All this itself is joined to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is joined to Christ, the Son. And then this is joined to the Father. So, this is the temple. This is the real temple. And we are concentrated now. We are speaking about the mind. The mind is the engine room of the temple. Everything that you have done today began from the mind. So that's what he's saying here. That be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. And so he's saying change can come to my soul if change comes to my mind. And he tells me what brings the change in my mind is the word. So the mind is the east gate. And for this soul, the mind is beginning to open up. But to come to a time when it becomes permanently opened. But for the beastly soul, the mind is closed. You can see that. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4:8 quickly. Ephesians 4:8. Four eighteen. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, and so on. So, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 13 tells us that there is a veil over the mind. There's a covering over the mind. Can you show that quickly? 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Okay. Okay, go to 15 says, but unto this day the veil is upon the heart. Verse 14 says, but their minds were blinded. Alright, so we can see that. So there is a veil over the mind. That means somebody that comes into the world, as you are born into the world, the mind is veiled. You don't know God. So that's why Paul prayed that the eyes of the understanding might be enlightened, might be opened. That means to know. And John 17 says, this is life eternal, that they might know you. So it's in knowing God that we receive life. All right. So let's go to the third one. A lot of people are sleeping. Praise God. Number three has to do with the Eden Garden. Genesis 3:24. What happened in Eden Garden? I'm sorry, I'm not shouting. Forgive me for not shouting. We'll keep you awake. Genesis 3:24. What's there? So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden. You see the word? East of the Garden of Eden, cherubims. And a flaming sword we turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So here we see a man outside the garden. So outside the garden here, Eden Garden, the man is outside. So has no access to the life of God in the garden. Here, the man is restored into the garden and has access to life. The fourth one has to do with the spirit. The Bible says it is the spirit that quickens. Here, the spirit is dormant. Let's look at Romans. So let's start from John. John 6:63. It says, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So when we come to the temple here, yesterday I said something, I don't know if you caught it, but there is a river flowing between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. And that is why you receive the Holy Ghost. That is why you receive the baptism. Now, many believers walk in dryness because they are not able to benefit from the flow of this river. To some people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is just there. The Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you build up the inner man. And then we look at the scripture in John that said that out of the belly will flow rivers of water. So there's a river. It comes from up from here, from God actually, into the spirit, into your soul, and begins to flow into the realms of the soul, and eventually into the body. Okay. Bible says in Psalm 46, say, we have a river. There's a river that makes glad the city of God. The river is relevant when you wake up in the morning and you are depressed. That's when you know the power of the river. When somebody, you hear bad news, somebody stabs you with, say something bad, that's when you need the river. When everything is working well, you may not feel it more, but it's when the soul is in a low place. That's when, if you have been walking with God, you can open the dam and the river flows in. He says, spring up, oh well, within my soul. So it is important that you must know that there is a river, there is a connection from your spirit into the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, for somebody who is not born again, that connection, you can't even discuss it. It's cut off. His spirit is dead. Well, when I use the word dead in quotes, it's just no life, lifeless. So, there is an energy in your spirit. But that energy in your spirit can run dry. Your spirit can be drained. As there's somewhere in Proverbs says, that when the spirit is broken or something, that there's rottenness in the bones or something, somebody's spirit can be drained of life. They're just out and out. You give up on life because there is no, you can't replenish. Now, the ability to overcome is the ability to open up and have a refill by the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
So, there are gates, there are pipes, and there are openings. You can open it up and say, spring up. Spring up, oh well. Amen. Let me give you one example of a brother. His name is called David. All his property gone, all his wife gone, everything gone. In fact, the people wanted to stone him. What did he do? That is English language. What he did was that he opened and the life of God began to come to his emotion. How you know is that David, read Proverbs, Psalms. My leg has almost entered into hell. However, the word of the Lord sustained me. What is that? So he had walked with God. He knew how to turn captivity to victory.
Amen.
Amen. He knew how to turn a bad situation to good because he understood that there is a river that maketh glad the city of God. Amen. So the people in management are borrowing it now. They tell you focus. They do all those things. They're just trying to borrow from us. We have. Hallelujah. I don't need any motivation. The Holy Ghost is my motivator. Amen. So you hear a voice in the morning telling you, where is it coming from? It's from that river. So you must cultivate it. You must master it. And that makes the difference between overcomers and those who are losers. Amen. Okay. There are many other scriptures. Let's read one more because this is important. Let me read one more here. Romans 8. Romans 8. Romans 8, 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh don't mind the things of the flesh. That word, after, the Greek says kata. That means, K-A-T-A, means who are ruled, who follow along, who are dominated. So that's what it means. So for they that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are in spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Spiritually minded means, let's also try to show. Spiritually minded means, now if you look at the mind. The mind is linked to the spirit. And of course, we have seen the connection between the spirit and spirit. Bible says the spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. That means the spirit of God talks to your spirit because your spirit has ears to hear. Amen. You hear in the spirit. God hears. So you are like God, so you have an ability to hear. So, the closest part of man to the spirit is the mind. Alright? Now, even in the natural body, this natural body, you see the head? The head is the part that is closest to the emotions. So there are some chemicals here in your head that automatically brings you into the spirit. Alright? So, the body is joined to the soul through the realm of the brain. The central nervous system connects us to the brain. Amen. So, that's in the natural. So you can see that all the senses of your body are in the head because the head controls the rest of the body. Also, in the spirit, the mind is the chief part of the soul. And that mind is linked to the spirit. That's what it means by spiritual mind. In fact, I won't go digress a lot, but let me just bring this. Now, with the mind, there are two parts to the mind. There is the conscious part of your mind, and then there is the unconscious part of your mind. All right, the things in your conscious realm you don't have access, but the devil has access, and God has access. That's why any word you don't understand, the devil catches it away. We can't deal with that today, but so that means you must have understanding. If not, you've lost the word. Okay, now, so you have those two realms, the conscious and the unconscious. The things your heart beats, you are not conscious of it. It's in your body. So even in the body, there is even the spiritual realm of the body. So also with the soul, there is the conscious mind. Paul says, I pray with my mind, with my consciousness. And I also pray with what? My unconscious. So when you speak in the tongues, it is now your spiritual realms that are built and called into question. And that is why we must spend more time praying in the spirit. Very low amen. Did you pray the spirit this morning? How many hours? How many did you? He that prayed in the he says he defines himself. Builds up. Jews say, building up your faith. Charge the battery. Amen. And when your spirit is charged, it's very, very active. No diabetes can come around because your spirit is strong. You know, well, that's on the other side. You know, so we're speaking about the carnal mind. As a spiritually minded. Spiritually minded means a mind yielded to the Spirit of God. Ruled and controlled. Okay. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Again, we explain flesh is not just body, it's raw soul nature. Your mind without the Spirit of God. Your emotion without the Spirit of God is flesh spiritually. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is what? Move up. It's none of his. Go up. Okay. Where are we now? Okay, verse 9. Show us 10 and 11 and 12, please. Okay, good. Now, if Christ be in you, that's where I'm going to. The body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life. because of righteousness. What is he saying? When Christ comes in, Christ wants to, the journey of Christ is to end up in the soul. So when we use the word Passover, I'm sorry I'm explaining this, but it's important. Now, when we use the word Passover, we are speaking about Christ in the soul. Christ in you. In you is the soul. So that is the beginning of the journey of Christ possessing the soul. So that is the first level, Passover. Christ in you is the hope. The glory hasn't come through. Then the next level is what? Pentecost, isn't it? That Pentecost means Christ comes into your spirit. He still has not arrived at your soul fully. Alright? And then we have the last one. Where are we? Tabernacles. What has happened here? Christ has now, Christ is possessing the soul. Christ possesses the soul. This is the end of the journey. There are three journeys. So, when the Spirit is joined to the Spirit of God, that means the Holy Ghost has come into your spirit and this river is fully active, then you the soul begins to receive life, begins to, you know. Now, there is a scripture that will help us. He told Mary, he said, when the Holy Ghost, the woman said, how shall I have a child? Which is the question many of us are asking. We are saying, God, how shall I? How can I become a spiritual soul? How can I change? He told him, say that the power of the highest will do what? Overshadow. There's an overshadowing, I want you to know. Where is the overshadowing? The Holy Ghost begins to overshadow the soul. Amen. Begins to make a circle. Hallelujah. And whether you like it or not, there is an overshadowing around your soul. Amen. In the spirit, the devil sees it and runs away. But we are not aware. We look at ourselves as ordinary. But I pray that the eyes of understanding might be opened to see there's a glory around your soul. Amen. That, you know, you don't need a badge to be a believer. You only feel life. That's the ministry. There's a ministry of life. Actually, I want to use the word radiation, really. If, I don't know if it will annoy you, so I didn't use it. There's a radiation of energy and life. Hallelujah. Okay, a question. What? It's blood touching the soul, but that blood that comes to the soul, Christ comes into the soul, but not to fullness. Because there are three things that bring the life of Christ to the soul. The blood, the word, and the spirit. There are three things that bring the life of God into the soul. That's why, because it says that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So the blood of Jesus had what? The life of Christ. And his life is light. Amen. So the Bible says that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, I don't want, shine. So the blood brings the life, it brings the light, it brings the energy, it brings everything into the soul. You know, so the soul has received blood. Huh? Has received blood. But the nature has not changed. Amen. Amen. So blood is on the soul, but the soul has not been, the mind has not been converted. So that is Passover, the beginning of the journey. And Pentecost is when the life of God, the Spirit of God, comes fully into your spirit. So you can see. And from there, it begins to overshadow the soul. Begins to woo the soul. Begins to incubate an energy. So there is a flow of life. Don't you understand? There is an energy radiating into the soul. That's why when you are angry, you sleep in the night, you wake up in the morning, the anger is gone away. Don't you feel like that? Oh, yes. Because while you are sleeping, there was a radiation. There was a washing. There was a cleansing. Hallelujah. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, what happens? The blood does what? Not just like he's a minister. That's a, you know, but we can, that's not the real thing. The real thing is that the nature of the soul might be converted. All right. Okay. So this one has taken us longer. Let's go to the next one. The fifth one. The fifth one is the senses. Or the doors. We call it the back doors. The senses. So here, the senses in the body are fully opened. Fully opened. The senses in the body here have been subdued. But the senses in the body, in the soul, are fully opened. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is, we're looking at issues of senses. Your eyes, your ears, the things. Those five senses in the body. The natural man depends fully on his senses. Do you know why he does that? The soul is dormant. Sorry, his spirit is dormant. He cannot receive anything from God. There's no God. Intellect, of course, has taken care of it. God is dead. So everybody, you shine your eye. You open your ear very, very well. So the man functions by his senses. He's a sensual person. Amen. He's sensual. He's led by it. But the spiritual man says he shall not follow after his eyes, isn't it? He's now led by the spirit. In other words, his inner senses come alive. So there are two types of people. One, Thomas said, except I see, I shall not believe. Jesus said, I wish you had believed. Before you saw, before you physically see. So, there is a turnaround where we become a spiritual people. The inward man begins to come alive, and then the outward man is subject. Amen. So, say, though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is what? Being renewed, being quickened, being raised up, being stood up. Amen. So this is what we call the back doors. You know? And the devil will come to you in the flesh. The things you can see. And look at Eve. She saw the fruit. That it was good. And she took it. So for the natural man is ruled by what he sees. Anything he sees, he must do. Every action, every image that comes, he must do. But for a spiritual man, he also sees, but he's seeing by his heart. So we all, with our open face, beholding the glory, are what? Changed. So the change of the natural man is that what he sees. You see the fine car, I will have the car. Isn't it? You see a fine dress, I will buy this dress. So also in the spirit, as you see the Lord, what do? You are changed. So, object of change is the eyes. So, Paul was saying that the eyes of my understanding might be enlightened. The more you see the Lord, the more you are changed to be the Lord. Amen. Amen. There was a man. Have you seen the Lord? John. But he now saw a new glory of Christ. He saw Christ in a new dimension. And my prayer is that my eyes may be opened. That I may see Christ afresh. A fresh revelation of Christ. And when he saw him, he said, it was like dead. That's a new dimension, you know, which we should be aiming for. So number six. Number six. We are coming home a bit. Number six is the inner man. Number six is dealing with the inner man. Here, the inner man is a slave. He's a servant. Here, the inner man is what? Strengthened. In fact, the inner man is now the ruler. He's in dominion. And this brings something. This one leads us to a situation. Now, you can see this number six is where I believe we are and we should be getting out of. Amen. And Jesus came as an example so that nobody will say it is something that is out of this world. Now, I didn't complete it. In brackets, you have the outer man. So the outer man here is very strong. But this is the realm of physical laws. Physical, natural laws. Okay? The laws of geography. And so on. Okay, physics and so on. That is the natural man. The natural man cannot walk on water. Amen. Do you need a natural man that walks on water? He must be on the boat. Amen. To ride. And you know, we have been programmed in our mind to think that that is all that there is. Amen. Amen. So, our ministry, our lifestyle is dominated by the outward man. And the reason is because the inward man has fallen. It's lifeless. Has no energy from God. It's dead. It's not excited. Everything is. Amen. Amen. But for the inner man, what I call the resurrection life rules. Amen. And this is mortality being swallowed up of life. Mortality being swallowed up of life. Amen. So we see Jesus raising the dead, walking on water, multiplying the food. We call them miracles, but it's normal life. Silence. No, amen. Brother, that is the resurrected life. It is the resurrected life. That is where we should be coming into. Let's read some scriptures. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Okay. Look at it. Jesus said it, of course, a few would have believed him. He said, and he said to them, verily I say to you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, brother, we are in the sixth day has ended. I didn't hear any amen. 6 days has come to an end. And we're now coming to the seventh. Amen. And the seventh dimension is when the resurrection life becomes an everyday life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Taking Peter and John and leading them where? Into an high mountain. Brother, we are going up to Zion. It's time to climb. You know, the 6 days are gone. No more plain life. We are going up. Amen. And what happened there? And he was what? Transfigured before them. Amen. Look at it. And his raiment became white. Exceeding white as snow. So as snow. Where did the light come from? It was the energy and the life in his soul that was ministered. Amen. So we are in that place when something must come from within. That life must break forth. It needs to come forth from within. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at it. Where was Elias and Moses? They just came there immediately. They have always been there. Amen. So, and suddenly he saw them. He now saw another realm that became real. Brethren, there is a spiritual reality that is around. Amen. I was reading a book the other day, something, and a brother was, you know, talking, a brother I know him very well, he was talking about wingless angels. You know, many brethren recounting their experiences with meeting angels, you know, at various situations. This is just this year. You know, so, it's being brought to our notice. That's not as it was in the beginning. It's now and ever shall be. War without end. In this canal realm where we are ruled by the natural, earthly, you know, limited man. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Oh God. Amen. Hallelujah. So Elias and Moses. We're not speaking of Pharaoh, we're talking of something that should be happening to me now. It's a life I can walk into. And there are some who right now are walking into it. And Peter answered and he said, go down, brother. It is good that we should be so and so and so. Look at it now. Verse 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked about, they saw no man apart from Jesus. Amen. Okay, somebody say it is Jesus. The Bible says we are that generation coming after Jesus, isn't it? Amen. We are the generation of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is where the church should be. This is where we should be going to. This is what we should be striving to in our experience. To begin to walk in this resurrection life. Try and read the Gospels. Read Mark, Peter. You see the real life. Jesus walked in it. He didn't struggle. He walked in it. It was that inward life that began to manifest. And he began to overshadow and bring his natural circumstances. Amen. Somebody in this fellowship, she had something happen to her leg. She went fast. The thing ran away. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Yes. So the things in our bodies, they are there because we have allowed them. If we say quit, they will run.
Amen.
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 Amen. Say, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Why? That means the energy in your soul will begin to affect your body. Brethren, that's divine order. The energy in the Spirit of God affects the spirit. The life in the spirit affects the soul. And the life in your soul begins to affect your body. Amen.
Amen.
That is divine health. APC, Panadol, thank God. But there is divine health.
Amen.
And may God bring me into it.
Amen.
The other day we told the sister, take mercy. Say, I don't take mercy. In this fellowship, I don't take mercy. I don't take mercy. If you see her, you just push her aside. Say, this one doesn't know where she is. But she doesn't take mercy. Sister, God bless you. I won't mention her name. Amen. People are walking into divine health. Leave ginger alone. Take ginger, but walk into divine life. Amen. Let your faith not only be with ginger and what's the other one? Garlic. And as you pass everywhere, smell it. Sorry, don't be annoyed. There is another garlic in the spirit. Amen. It's the energy from the throne. When it lands in your heart, that heart will kick him up. See,
Say, yeah, this is, I like this one. Amen. We are speaking of resurrection life. Amen. I want to see Babylon fall. I want to climb the hills of Zion. That's what we are talking about. In that mountain, where the energy from inside begins to come out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He said that when God came into the wilderness, say the mountains ran away. They skipped. They began to because the glory of the Lord. Says when God comes, everything else will melt. Hallelujah. Do you ever imagine Jesus came and the man began to shout? Hey, hey. He didn't talk to him. Why? Because there was life that was smiting that spirit. Yes, we can rebuke, but there is a higher realm where the life rebukes the spirit. Amen. You don't need to talk. It's just there, but the life and energy of God begins to transform the environment. Praise God. Amen. Number 7. Here we are looking at the cherubims. Here, the cherubims have 4 wings. Here, the cherubims have how many? 6 wings. Pukwa, the Esther. 4 + 2 will make 6. Okay, let's see. Let's look at the scriptures to see where it is. Ezekiel chapter 1. Cherubims, they speak of the nature of man in the spirit. You can see that Exodus, Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, Ezekiel 11, I think. And then Isaiah 6. And then Revelations 4, 5, and all through. But we're looking at Ezekiel 1 just to get the context of the one we're looking at, I think it's verse 11. So I can't read everything because of time. So thus were their faces, and their wings were all stretched upward. 2 wings of everywhere were joined one to another. In other words, stretched up. Alright? 2 covered their body. Can they fly? They don't fly. 2 up. 2 covering the legs. So this is a limited man. Limited operation of the soul. There's a glory, but it's limited. Amen. Alright. Let's go to Revelation 4. And the 4 beasts had each of them how many? 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes. I think it's like they were full of eyes. And rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So clearly there is a change. From 4 to 6. How did the 2 come about? Okay, so we have to investigate it. Alright, let's go to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. 2. It says, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With two, he did what? Cover his face. And with 2, what happened? He covered his leg. And with 2, what did he do? He was able to fly. Amen.
Amen.
So the 6th wing is clearly an advanced soul. Will I put it the other way? The redeemed soul. Amen. That has the ability to rise. What do you do with wings? They that wait upon the Lord, what happens to them? They shall rise. They shall mount up with what? With wings. As eagle. Do you say eagle? That's the mind. Amen. So, there's a place where your mind begins to rise. Rise and rise and rise into the heights of Zion. Amen. Into the holiest of all. Amen. The ones that cover the face, that for something else, we can't get into that now. But what I'm trying to show that there's a limitation on the natural soul. While there is a blessing in the other one, in the spiritual soul, which is where we're going to. Now, I believe, this is my own, this is what I believe God has been showing me, that these are the two extra wings. The world and the spirit. Those are the two extra wings that propel the soul. Amen. To go in. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, look at it, study it, examine it. We won't have time for going into the details. Number 8. We can take questions if there are, but we have to go on. 8. We're looking at the fallen mind. It's ruled by passions. And passion means emotion and desires. This is not the divine order of God. The divine order of God is that God rules the soul by his word, through the mind. Amen. And if you look at, if I draw this, if you look at the cross, so assuming emotions are here, desires are here, what would they have here? That would be your mind. And then the will is the servant. The horizontal plane, what happens on the horizontal plane? That's man to man. Is it not? The social media generation. I was reading something somewhere. It said, we, the social media generation, we met ourselves on the social media. We love ourselves on the social media. That's the new generation now. No longer the jet generation. Our own was jet. There's a new generation now. What is it? Social media. Amen. Say amen. God bless you. Social media generation. They meet themselves where? On the internet. What is that? Mind to mind. Twitter. This is my Facebook. Mind to mind. Emotions, passion, energy. Isn't that what they say there? Amen. But that is Moab, as we saw yesterday. Moab of the father. The man went into his daughter. The daughter went into the father. The daughter went into the father and produced a seed and called the name of the father. What's that? Man to man. And I told somebody in the spirit is a homosexual spirit. That is a high dimension, if you don't mind. Okay? So, man ministering to man will only produce what? Passions. Entertainment. That's the ministry. Fun. Amen. But if you want to rise in God, what do you do? You must go upward. Amen. Vatican. And that's where you meet God. Amen. God and man. The will will go anywhere. But the will is subject. It's put down. So, this soul is changed. The mind, in fact, we call it the redeemed mind. The redeemed mind is in control and gives life, quickens the rest of the soul, quickens the soul ranks. Amen. Quickens the soul ranks. And we talked about it. These emotions, this one is Og, and this one is Sihon. Brother, can you turn to Deuteronomy 1. Let's look at it quickly. Deuteronomy 12:1. Go to the interlinear. Let's look at it. Verse 4. It says, after he has slain Sihon, I can overcome in my emotions. I can overcome in my desires. I thought I'd be hearing amen.
Amen.
Amen. I can overcome in my emotion and desire. Touch Sikkim. Touch it. Come down. Yeah. This song. What? Absolutely. God bless you. Tempestuous. I mentioned it. That is Sihon. Temper. So this is the temper. And what is temper? Is it not emotion? When temper boils, when you're angry, you are effervescent. You are, you quickly get angry. You're boiling. There's a heat generated with the devil. That's the energy he wants. Of course, with sexual activity, the same thing. There's a heat, and that's what the devil wants also, isn't it? Amen. So on the internet, man to man, a lot of energy. In Nigeria today, there's a lot of energy fueled by the spirit of divisions. Biafra, six geopolitical, restructuring, resource control. You drag, I drag. Energy. And then, some of us, we are politically minded. In your room, nobody is seeing you. Just, you're waving your hand. A burning. There's a great burning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who gets the offering? Amen. So, temper. And then, brother, can you show us the gold standard? Proverbs 16:32. It helps people like us who are struggling to overcome. You know, God said the Nigerian Christians will have to overcome pride, divisions, and what else? Blood covenant. Look at it. He that is slow to anger is what? Is better than all my preaching. Amen. And he that what? What is the spirit? That spirit. The emotion is a spirit. The desire is a spirit. You know, desire for hunger. When I'm fasting, 4 o'clock, my body is shaking already. Say amen, Abraham.
Amen.
Amen. But when will he come? Let me break the fire. Break the fire. That spirit must be broken. Say amen. Now you must go. You don't want to support me.
Amen.
That must be broken. That I'm fasting at 6 o'clock. There's no time in it. My emotion, that desire for food is under control. And not just that one, all that desires also are what? Under subject. Amen.
Amen.
May God give us strength.
Amen.
To rule. This is the Son of God, the overcoming. Hallelujah. Let's read the broader scripture just for completion. 25:28. So he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down. without walls. Amen. There's no excuse why I should not overcome in my passions, in my desires. Amen. You know, and let me say this. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There is a ministry that comes from joy. It's an energy that God has prepared for my soul to entertain my emotions. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. That brings me to an end for this first section. I've tried to show the two contrasts, you know, where we should be going. The spiritual soul, the life-giving spirit, is where, you know, that's my nation. That is where I should be transformed into. And I should be moving over from here. I should be focusing on this. Praise God. Now, let's look at some examples of the ministry of darkness and the ministry of life. Some examples. Let's look at Zadok, Exodus 44. Exodus 44. We're looking at ministry of life and the ministry of death, of darkness. Ezekiel 44, sorry. Ezekiel 44, verse 9. Ezekiel 44:9. Ezekiel 44:9. Okay, so let's read that. It says, "Thus says the Lord, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary. For any stranger that is among you, of any stranger that is among the children of Israel, and the Levites that are gone away from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity." Verse 11. "Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary." Amen. So, the ministry is not the problem. The problem is, where is your standing? Amen. See, they will have charge at the gate of the house. They will be ministers to the house. And ministering, doing the work of God. Amen. "They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people. And they shall do what? They shall stand before them to do what? Minister unto them." Amen. So the thing is not ministry. The thing is, there's a ministry to the people and there's another ministry. So where do we stand? Because they ministered unto them before their idols. And the idols are in the soul, because the soul is a temple, it's a place of worship. And we'll be looking at the idols. We looked at Ezekiel 8, and he said when he opened the wall, there were a lot of those idols in the flesh, in the soul, and so they caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. "Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord, and they shall bear their iniquity." Verse 13, "And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place." Amen. So there's an altar called ministry. It's very easy. You know, the ministry to the people, doing the work of God, singing, you know, NGO, all kinds of things are happening. It's good. But the thing is, you have to find out that ministry does it enter. You know. But they shall bear their shame and the abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. Verse 15. But the priests, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. And today, there is a falling away. There is a falling away. There is a falling away in the church. You know, there is a falling away. They shall what? Come near to me. To do what? To minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood. Say the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary. Amen. And they shall come near to me, to my table. They shall minister unto me. And they shall keep my charge. Amen. So we can choose where, which kind of ministry. And when you look at this, you can see very clearly that there's a qualification. You can't just go in. There must be a change in the soul. By the way, the ministry here is the soul, the priest. The priest here are the soul, is the soul, the mind, the emotion. Those are the ministry, is the new ministry. And you see that in Revelation 4, say there were 24 elders. There were four living creatures. Amen. 24 is the number of priesthood. So it's this priesthood of the soul. And here, the soul cannot bring any ministry of life, cannot minister to God. Even the ass, God used the ass to speak. Is that correct? Is that correct? Yeah, so speak is not a problem. God can use the ass to speak. So, a man that doesn't know God can be speaking. Amen. But that ministry cannot be unto the Lord. Amen. So this is to... look at it, it says, it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments and not with wool. No sweat, no strength of man shall come upon them. Why is the minister in the gates of the inner court? Amen. And it goes on and on and on. So, it's to encourage us to press on, to come into this other type of ministry. Let's look at another one. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, verse 9. So you can see the example of Zechariah. He said, it was the custom of the priest's office. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he entered into the temple of the Lord. So, we've been talking about it, but this is the example, the practice, that he ministered. If you go to the earlier verse, they say he ministered according to the cost of Abiah. Because according to David, they divided the priest into 24. Everybody in his own course of ministry. When it's your own turn, you go. And even then, they cast lots. And his lot was to burn incense. You know, so the ministry that we are called is the ministry of incense. The ministry to bring an incense. And that incense is the consecrated life. The incense of a consecrated life. Let's look at one of two examples on the opposite. Genesis chapter 3, from verse 14. Genesis 3:14. What does it say? And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And of course, we know that dust is not natural dust, because the serpent doesn't eat natural dust. So that dust is humanity, it's man. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let's go down to Adam, number 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, I have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, thou wilt not eat. What did he say? He said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18. Thorns and thistles shall he bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That was the curse. Amen. So that is the ministry of the carnal man. It's a ministry under a curse. Amen. So whether you build corporations, build airplane, whatever you do, as far as God is concerned, it is what? Thorns and thistles. Amen. As the sister was saying, if I have letters, PhD, I have this, at the end of the day, it's thorns and thistles. But there's a scripture in Galatians chapter 4. Is it 3:4? Galatians 3:13-14. Show it to us. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So, all the things that the curse brought, including death, sickness, and disease, in Christ, this soul is free from them. Amen. We are free from it. So it's not a must that you must physically die. I didn't hear a big amen.
Amen.
Not a, because Christ has redeemed us from that curse. Amen.
Amen.
And so both the body and the soul and the spirit have been removed from that curse. Amen. But it cannot work if we are not submitting to the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. So, as you look at the soul, as the soul begins to come under the influence of the Spirit of God, that curse is removed. The DNA will begin to change. The chemicals in the body will begin to change. The things in the soul natures begin to be converted. He said, I'll put my law in the inward part. Brethren, we will come into a new generation. The generation of Christ.
Amen.
A generation that has overcome the curse. Hallelujah. It's in the mind. Somebody says, it's not possible. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. And he has broken the curse. So I am free. Amen. So in Christ we are free. But remember, you must be in Christ. How do you come into Christ? Christ comes into you to bring you into Christ. That's the message of Passover. Passover, the blood brings Christ into you. And the Christ in you begins to slay all these living wild beasts within the soul. Amen. Begin to drive out the darkness within the soul. Amen. Until there won't be any more darkness. And that is to say, now is come strength. Now is come salvation. And the kingdom of our Christ. And of his Christ within. Amen. That is what we live for. That is the vision. That is the message that he has given to us. Amen. So if somebody tells you, you cannot say, through Christ, I can do all things. So Christ is our champion. Amen.
Amen.
So it's that spirit of Christ that has brought excitement and deliverance to us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Alright, let's see the example of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. We're almost ending. I know it's a long journey. I just pardon me. We're just taking it gradually so that everybody can follow. Amen. Ruth chapter 1. We want to see, remember we're looking at ministry, the ministry of the soul in different situations, different conditions. This one is very, very pathetic. Amen. And this is a word for sons of God, those who have come out. How many of us have come out of Babylon? Okay, my hand is up. Don't worry, you don't need to raise your hand. My hand is up. I've come out of Babylon. This message is for me. Amen. Okay, are you there? Elimelech. You know? So now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was what? A famine in the land. Amen. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. That means there was famine in Bethlehem, Judah. Is that correct? What does Bethlehem mean? House of bread. Huh? Brother, can you show the interlinear? Let's make sure it is so. We're not just following this brother. Bethlehem, look at it. Bethlehem. Beth will be house. Anyway, go to Lehem. Go to the other one. The second one, Lechem. That one. Bet Lechem. Lechem. Food. Grain. So it's a house of food. How come there was famine in the house of food? Amen. Hallelujah. So there was famine in the house of food. Something has happened. Amen. So what did the man do? When there's famine, what do? You go to God. But the man went to Moab. Amen. Remember our Moab? Eh? Man. Moab is the realm of man. Man organizations. Shell. Internet. Slumberger. All those big ones. Those are and you know, these are big corporations. They swallow you. So you should be very careful in pursuing your career. Because career is in bordering the realms of Moab. Don't you understand? Your career can swallow you. Your profession can swallow you. Amen. And you now enter inside the ship. Yeah? It carry you anywhere you want to go to. Amen. Hallelujah. So they went to sojourn. In other words, they went to get life from Moab. He and his sons. He, his wife, and two sons. And the name of the man was what? Brother, show us his name. What does his name mean? God of the King. It means my God is King. Chibweze. Is that correct? Is that the correct one? Chibweze. My God is King. It must be a son of God. So this is it was a son of God, one of these sons of God who have come out of Babylon. Amen. Okay. And we know the name of his wife, Naomi. Touch the internet. Let's see, for those who don't know, Naomi, what does Naomi mean? Naomi. What does it mean? Pleasant. So, Son of God and Pleasant are now in Moab. Amen. Is that a contrast? What brings a contrast? Pressure. Famine. It's a condition, make crayfish. So you won't know whether crayfish will bend until conditions will change. Amen. So what will God do? God will bring the condition. And there's condition coming on the church. Oh. Amen. To know whether I will bend or whether I will stand. Amen. May the Lord help me to bend. To Him. Amen. Hallelujah. There has to be a bend. There has to be broken to Christ. Not by conditions. Amen. Now, what does Malon mean? Malon and Chilion. Malon, yes. Sick. Is it possible? My God is King, and pleasant bring sickness. Is it possible? Something has happened. Adam was made a living soul. But how come his first son was a murderer, first murderer? Do you understand? Do you understand it? He was made a living soul, was working with God, but his first son was a murderer. But there is an original murderer. Who's that man? It is the devil. So you are a murderer from the beginning. So how come the son of Adam connected with the murderer from beginning? It can only happen with what we are looking at. When the soul detaches from the heavens. Another man who wants the same soul who comes and takes over. Amen. Should be a warning to us that the devil can play games with us if we are not careful. If we say we are sons of God, and we make the wrong choices, we'll end up like Elimelech. Show us Chilion. What does Chilion mean? Go down. Touch that one. Pining. Destruction. Consumption. Failing. Amen. So this is the ministry of a journey that has gone wrong. That has gone into Moab. And we are being warned today to be careful. But go to Ruth chapter 4. There's another man too. The story is always complete. Ruth chapter 4. Look at him now. Boaz. What does Boaz mean? Just touch it. Let's see if you can get something from him. What does it mean? It means pillar. Calm down. It doesn't show much. But if you look at the other one, Teyaz, I think it has something. I can't remember what it means. However, Boaz did not go away from Bethlehem. He continued in Bethlehem. One moved, the other one stayed in the midst. And what happened? He ran into Ruth. And not just that he ran into Ruth, he became the grandfather of Jesus Christ. Amen. His generation was joined to Christ. So what is he saying to us? Two sons of God under pressure. One even went to the front of his name. He was named and natured. One took the wrong choice. One took the right choice. And we can see the outcome. I think we will begin to close. The other part will probably take some other time, the last bit of it. I think we've been talking about it as we've gone on. So what we have tried to show is that there is a ministry of life, a ministry, somebody call it immortality. It's a Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I think, let me close with that. Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy, is it 2:10? 1 Timothy 2:10, try that. 1 Timothy 2:10. No, it's not this one. Is it second? Oh, 1:10, it says 1:10, try 1:10. 1 Timothy 1:10. Is that this one? No, it's not this one. Try 2 Timothy. 1:10. Verse 9 says, who has called us, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, who now is made manifest by the, but now is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has what? Abolished death, and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I'm appointed what? A preacher and an apostle. And what? A teacher of the Gentiles. So our gospel is the gospel of immortality. Amen. It's the gospel of light. And we are called to be changed, you know, into this nation, this ethnos, this nation of souls. Amen. Who are transiting from death to life. Who, instead of being detached from the heavens, are joined to the heavens. They have their mind opened up. Their mind is presented. It's a head offering. They have offered their mind to Christ. And they have access to the life, the tree of life. The Spirit of God is quickening them. They have brought their senses under control. Amen. While their spiritual senses are fully alive. Amen. Their inward man is being renewed day by day. Say that might be strengthening the inner man. Hallelujah. Not just that, that resurrection life will swallow up their mortality. Amen. And their soul is being changed to a cherubim. God says he dwells between the cherubims. Your soul must become like that of a cherubim. That qualifies it for Christ to dwell in it. Amen. And then their mind has been renewed. They have a redeemed mind. Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Redeemed. There's a strength. Can you imagine what is the power of the mind? How much more the mind of Christ? Hallelujah. When we have the mind of Christ, we don't need all things are possible to us. Amen. So Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. And we can see down history that there are people who have walked in it, that have walked in this new resurrection life. You know, so they brought, they received their dead from their dead, they raised up. You know, they came into resurrection. They told the woman, is it well? It is well. Amen. Because she believed that her son will be raised up. We must believe that our soul also will be raised up. Yes, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they didn't have any children. But God was preparing something for them. Don't you understand? Every day he was bringing an offering. Every day he will go. But the time came when there was a visitation. Hallelujah. And that visitation led to John being born. So I believe there's going to be a visitation. to all who are the golden altar. The golden altar is the place where the soul is offered. Amen. This soul must be cleaned. A chaste virgin. And now offered to Christ. Amen. So that Christ can marry the soul. Remember, as your body is married, so also the soul is married. So also the spirit is married. Amen. In some tradition, they say, you only marry the bone. Okay, you didn't marry the bone. So after marriage, the bone is going back. Amen. But our own, Christ has married what? That spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So all is going. So he has paid the price for your whole spirit, for your whole soul, and for your whole body. There are things from the environment that have entered the body. It's called disease, viruses, germs. Also in the spirit, there are things from the spiritual that have entered the soul. Amen. The husbandman has power to evacuate all. Don't you understand? Say that he might cleanse it and present unto himself a glorious body without spot or wrinkle. Spot in the body. Spot in the soul. Wrinkle in the spirit. Amen. That is the body he's raising. So no one of us should feel and say, I cannot come in. I can come in. Amen. You know, and you know, it's the thing is being broken down to show how we can enter in. Say, be ye transformed, be you changed. By what? The renewing of the mind. The key is change in appetite. And the key of change in appetite is to offer your lifestyle. Should I take it again? The key is change in appetite. And to change the appetite, you offer the lifestyle. Amen. If you get so much energy from television, offer it to God. You bring it. I say, God, take it away. Amen. But you must have an alternative. The lifestyle you want to now receive, you bring it. Say, God, give me the strength. The more you behold his face in the world, the more the appetite for television will be going. Amen. So if you walk in the light as he is in the light, amen, there will be a cleansing and there will be a change. Amen. So I believe God is raising a new generation. Not the generation that are defeated. It's a generation that are strong on the inside. Amen. A generation that know, have realized that the curse has been broken. Amen. And we have come into a liberty in Christ. So Paul said, walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. As usual, I think we should pray. And then if there are questions, we can address the questions. It's possible there are one or two things that may have minister to you. So we can just spend a few minutes and pray about them. Respond to the Lord, and we can, if there are questions, if there are, we can now address the questions. Praise God.